Adam Carolla here with an important message. We've worked the body, and the troll is against the ropes. The patent troll has thrown everything he's had at us, and we're still standing tall. We're going to wrap this thing up with a big haymaker. By clicking the Amazon banner on this show's website, we'll get a little kickback from every purchase you make, and it'll go directly to the Podcast Defense Fund. So whether it's school supplies or a radar detector, we're going to get a little bit to deal the final blow and knock them out. So spend away, and thanks to everyone for your support.
The Brody Jenner Podcast with Dr. Mike Dow.
I had only really seen Brody dance one other time before this wedding.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought that his dancing skills were, like, crazy, because I've seen this move he does, the Carlton.
Oh, that's my only dance move.
But that's his only dance move. At Reggie's wedding, he kept doing the Carlton, and I go, you just totally tricked me the last time. I thought you were such a great dancer. Now I realize this is your only move.
Oh, Brody.
This is my only move.
Brody Jenner and Dr. Mike Dow. Get a brand new episode at podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, man. Get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Man, get it on, Dr. Drew.
Man.
In studio, man. How you doing with your summer, man?
Hey, man, I'm having a good summer. Just been finished fighting with you. It's awesome.
Not fighting with me.
I told you, you scared me.
You
scare everybody. You scare everybody.
Everyone is tired of that theme.
No. That's a different theme. That's a different thing. I'm saying the intensity with which you come at people makes them not be able to answer your questions accurately and think clearly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So when I say things like, give me the Amazon numbers for today.
Yeah.
That's intense. That scares people.
No. Then when you go, huh? You don't just go, hang on a second. Is that really for today? Like everybody else does. You don't ask. You say what?
Well, can I say this?
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah.
We've been running this Amazon campaign. Mm-hmm. We've been doing, trying to defeat the patent trolls with the new Amazon banner.
Yeah.
And now, is that the same one we had up the other night, Gary? The one I'm looking at now?
It's slightly modified based on our conversation.
Yeah. But the point is you go to the website. I want a little instruction here because I'm sort of lame with the computer.
But everybody's website on the Corolla platform is dedicated to this, right? Pretty much?
No, almost everyone.
Uh-oh. Who's
The bottom line is you go to adamanddrdrewshow.com and you click on the Amazon banner.
You go to drdrewshow.com, you go to adamcarolla.com, right?
Right.
You can go to most anywhere you like and click on the Amazon banner,
and
it will support the fight against the patent trolls,
right,
including this show, adamanddrdrewshow.com.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So I'm just – what I try to do is I try to spend a long time doing this. I don't know anything about statistics. I don't know anything about numbers. I just know direction.
Yeah.
You know, I say to people, you know, I've said the entire time we've done this podcast, not you and I, but I've been doing this podcast, what days are good?
At Amazon.
No. What days are more downloaded than other days?
Downloaded. Got it.
What do the people think of live shows versus in-studio shows?
Got it. In terms of downloads.
Yeah. I've had conversations with people where I said, what's the proper length for a downloadable show?
Yeah.
And then the person will say to me, you know, I don't really think it matters. And then I say, well, okay, let me ask you this. In terms of downloads, what would get more downloads, a 10-minute show or a 5-hour show? And they go, oh, 10 minutes. And I go, well, okay, well, then
we know something.
Then it does matter.
Yeah.
Yes? Well, sure. I mean, if you're talking about a 5-hour show, yeah, it's going to get a lot less downloads than a 10-minute show. And I go, okay. Well, now we know something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so your answer, your initial answer is it doesn't really matter. May matter.
Yeah.
There may be more downloads at 60 minutes than there would be at 120 minutes. But let's try to figure these things out.
Yeah.
Not sure why most folks aren't interested in that particular phase of life. Because for me, that's not a number. I'm not a numbers guy. That's just a, what do you do?
Well, you're an objective guy, right? What's the data? What's the Francis Bacon invented the process of experimentation. You have a theory.
Well, nothing to do with Bacon?
Nothing.
Not even the BLT?
Not. Well, he had something to do because his name was there, but no. Other than that, no.
His son, Larry Bacos.
He was a little guy.
The little guy. So, yes, my.
Okay, but a lot of people, it's stunning how people don't care about objective reality anymore.
But because it is stunning. It's stunning, and like I said, I was telling you about the NPR interview I did that they refused to air.
Yeah.
And I was saying a month in when they didn't air it, before I essentially accused them of doing what they did, mm-hmm. which is they were cowards. They tried to ambush me, and they got caught, and got thrown in their face, and they decided to never air it.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Shocking.
That, and by the way, it's a behavior that nobody cares about because it's them. Mm. They're doing it. They're rooting for them. But it'd be insane if it was the other way around. The point is this. When I called my assistant and I said, I want to suss this out. I want to find out what's going on. And he said, you know, how are we going to do that kind of thing? And I said, go on their website and find out when they got their interviews and then when they aired their interviews. Mm. And he just said, it's a long list of, you know, politicians. But I find me another notable. Oh, well, at some point, after twisting his arm just a little bit, we got to the fact that John Waters did an interview on a Tuesday. His book came out on a Tuesday, and it aired on a Tuesday.
Right.
And I said, well, that's all we need to know. Now we know.
Yeah.
Didn't take much, but I wasn't sure of anything. I didn't know if they had a six-month delay on airing things. I didn't know what their policy was.
Yeah.
And I just went on their website. We found another author, personality, comedian, whoever, John Waters. He did his a month later. It came out that day, and that's the day his book came out. Now we have some apples to apples, and now we can get on with our lives. It's a simple thing, but it's a weird thing, which is, to me, I'm just looking for some apples to apples so I can figure out what's going on. And then, as I've always said, as it pertains to this, I've said, find out what guests people like.
Yeah.
There may be people that I personally enjoy a lot, but maybe the audience aren't big fans and vice versa. Find out what days they listen.
By looking at their behavior.
Most to.
Looking at their downloads.
Look at the data. And then if you have some big announcement to make, make it on the day that they listen to.
Yeah.
Make it the length they like. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's a simple, simple thing.
Yeah. Data doesn't matter. Reality doesn't matter anymore. To people, it's sort of a general trend.
This isn't spilling into our crew because our crew is pretty good, and I've coached them up pretty well. But what I'm looking for is change and what's going on and what direction is the needle moving.
You know, another thing as it pertains that we have talked probably the last two or three podcasts about the electric car thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people still don't understand what we're talking about. They don't seem to get it.
We were talking about
the amount of energy required to create the electricity that then has to be transported without being dissipated to get into an electric car. Not that electric cars they have no emissions. I know that. They're very efficient. I know that.
Right.
But somebody created the electricity that you're putting into the car. Now, I also know if you could put a fucking minefield of solar panels in your backyard, if you can afford that. Sure, that's a perfect way to do it.
People have to make the batteries and dispose of the batteries
at some point.
Yes,
but
listen,
there's no free lunches in
transportation.
Right, the point we were making was that currently the predominant means of creating electricity is coal, and the carbon footprint left behind and the amount of energy required makes the electric car kind of a weird push. You know what I mean? Like it probably is leaving. I've seen a book called The Quest I would recommend to people. It's a yellow cover. Read The Quest if you understand some of these things. I think another one called Perfect Power is another good one that describes the problems we have with electricity and then delivering electricity in a smart way without it being dissipated. We spend more energy creating electricity than the efficiency of a combustion engine. It's just the way it is. It's just the fact.
Right. But
and
here's
it's not
the
a good
argument.
Thing. It's a bad thing. It's a terrible right. thing. We need to do better with it.
Wow. Passion.
Oh, because I'm
say
so
this.
Tired.
I am tired of two people, please. Let me tell you this. What the argument would be from the other side, and I don't necessarily blame them or think it's spurious.
No.
What I'm saying is, all right, I'll make the argument.
Yeah.
Look, bucko, we must go through this phase like a business where you lose money for the first few years in order to start turning a profit.
Right.
How are we ever going to get to that point, battery technology and
right.
so forth,
right. but would you
without have... these kinds of lost leaders?
Right. Now,
you
would
know
you agree
I mean?
That the part of that is us creating the demand for these things by buying the electric cars?
Sure.
So it's a good thing to buy an electric car. I'm not saying it's a – I think it's a
no,
very
Elon,
good thing.
No, Elon, those Teslas, depending on what neighborhood you're in,
yeah.
have replaced all the BMW 7 Series
yeah.
and the Audi 8 Series.
That's right.
It's the stature car.
The status car.
The
yeah.
status car of yeah. a nice – of a nice
yeah.
neighborhood.
And it's making a statement, too. It's saying, you know, I'm supporting,
yeah.
I'm saying something.
Now, I've always, the thing that's always weird is I've always just said build nuclear power plants and have everyone get
what?
Electric cars.
Huh?
And then you everyone
nuclear,
freaks out.
How dare you? What did you, Three Mile Island, Fukushima, huh?
Right. No bodies. Show me the bodies. There's no bodies. I can show you the coal bodies, but I can't show you the nuclear bodies.
The waste. We're gonna use up the Earth's mantle.
They transport those things on trains where they literally...
Terrorists will explode them.
Right.
Dirty.
I know there's a lot of that talk, except for it has never happened. I've never seen a country... we have to be the world's leading bellyachers of shit that has never yet to happen.
San Onofre.
There's nothing going on at San Onofre.
You know what I love about that is they closed it down... And guess what happened to everyone's energy bills?
Yes,
they went through the roof. And people like they're literally going saying you can't do this. What do you mean you can't? That's what you did.
Here's what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying is this. Here's the way our country is wired, and I'm not sure why.
Right.
Thousands of people die in coal mines worldwide every
yeah.
year, and probably hundreds in the United States.
Yeah.
But certainly. For a group that is obsessed with secondhand smoke, secondhand black lung, I mean, what would you rather
yeah.
your children be exposed to? Somebody who smoked at a bar they were in or somebody went to work in a coal mine?
Bar.
Yeah. Have one of your kids go to work at a coal mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about what happens to your lungs
yeah.
working in a coal mine. So not only do you have the people who die with the tunnel collapse...
Mm-hmm.
You have the people who die when they're 51
well,
and have had a hack since they were 35.
Raping this landscape and then...
Well, whatever. I'm just talking about just pure bodies in
yeah.
danger. The guys
people
who
don't really care about that.
Well, here's the thing. It's like this. Especially if you come from L.A. Nonstop gun talk, gun safety talk, secondhand smoke talk. Meanwhile, I'll guarantee you that all the people that are talking about secondhand smoke and their four-year-olds being exposed to secondhand smoke and their four-year-olds being in a house where there's a gun present and so on and so forth, I'll guarantee that house is a swimming pool with a gate that's unlatched.
Mm.
And statistically, it's not twice as likely in terms of that's the way their kid's going to die. Right, secondhand smoke or gunplay. It's 20 times, 50 times. Why not focus statistically? Now, hold on. Let me say this, Drew.
Mm. That's not just this country. That's how humans are wired.
It's how chicks are wired. But what's going on? No, listen
what's
to me, Drew.
I'm listening.
I wrote a little tome called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. That was about 4 years ago.
Wasn't that a homage to me?
It started off as an homage
Thank
to
you.
But
Thank
the
you.
Point is when I said in 50 years we'll all be chicks, four or five years ago, I didn't know how prophetic it was.
You know how fast those 50 years would go by?
I didn't know they were going to go by in 9 years. No, I want you to dig. Dig. Here's the deal. Guys are wired statistically quiet.
Objectively, you mean? More objectively.
Yeah. We want to look. Somebody says, how many bodies is it going to take Normandy? How many bodies is it going to take to build the Golden Gate Bridge? How many bodies is it going to take to finish the subway system in New York? And then the chicks chime in. Well, one body is one body too many.
Yeah.
And then the guy says, shh, get back in the kitchen.
Jesus.
We got to talk about body counts.
Oh, my God.
We got a war to win. I know you say one body's one body too many, but I got a fucking bridge to build.
Yeah.
I got a war. We got a bunch of Nazis. We got to fucking invade that beach. The door's going to drop on that Higgins craft, and a lot of guys are going to buy it.
Well, here's how it's wired.
Let me finish. Yep. Let me finish my thought. How many bodies is it going to take? Now, okay. Chicks, no bodies. One body, too many.
Yep.
Okay. That's the way we're basically wired. Now, it was fine because there was a separation. And what the guys did is they said, fine, Rosie the Riveter, you stay stateside and you help put together B-17s. We'll go over to Normandy, jump on the Higgins craft, and we'll get slaughtered. We'll build the Golden Gate Bridge, and seven of us will fall into the fucking bay and die during the course of it. We'll do the sand hogging, and we'll build the New York subway system, and there'll be 50 guys dead. We'll do that. You guys put together the shit back at the plant. Fine. We did that, and that was fine. Now, there's no separation. You have a bunch of dudes that are now becoming wired like women and saying one body's too many. And losing sight statistically of what really counts, thinking with their heart.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, look, there's nothing wrong with thinking with your heart. It's great for many of life's endeavors. It's not good for taking over the beach in Normandy when the Nazis have the pillboxes and the 50 caliber machine gun set up. That's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good for that.
Yeah.
It's good for other things.
Yeah. I agree.
Now we've decided to blend ourselves into the same group, and we got a bunch of dudes talking about secondhand smoke and about guns and houses and school to prison pipelines, and now we're fucked. Because there's no more analytical thinking going on. There's a lot of analytical feeling going on, and that's not going to solve any problems.
Yeah.
The problem is this. Do you like nuclear? No. Do you like coal? No. Okay, we don't like either one. We both wish that magically the cars and the lamps and the blenders and the toaster ovens and the microwave could just be powered by some pixie dust that didn't come from anything.
Yes.
It just came from manna from heaven.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's off the table.
What?
That doesn't exist. Now,
you're not thinking creatively.
The point is we got a bunch of fucking Nazis on Normandy, and we have to go and take them out. Now, we can help our cause by making a bunch of fake base camps over here and not letting them know when we're going to land or where we're going to land, and we can strategically try to work it out the best way. I mean, literally with inflatable tanks set up so it looks like we're going to plan some sort of land-based attack from another blah, blah, blah. We can do all that. There's still going to be a lot of people that are going to die. We're going to try to lessen it.
Now what we do is we go, who are you to say Nazis are wrong? Who are you? Let them be. They want a little bit of France.
Right.
They've been dealing with this for many years.
Right.
Why do we have to
get
involved with this?
So the problem is trying to solve problems with feelings is not good. Raising kids with feelings, fine.
Yeah.
Doing many other endeavors with feelings, fine. Listening to music, creating music, painting with feelings, fine. Solving problems like energy problems with feelings, like, I just don't like nuclear. You know, you say to people, okay, you don't like nuclear. You want holes in the ground with people? I don't know. I just want it fixed.
Yeah.
It doesn't fix anything.
I think it was
anything.
Stalin that said, you know, five people die in a fire. It's a tragedy. 1,000 die in a war. It's an incident.
It's,
you know, 5 deaths, tragedy, 3,000 gone, incident.
Right.
And that's kind of how we're wired, all of us, to be fair.
No, I mean, that's not me. I mean, in the sense that I don't have a dog in the nuclear power plant fight or the coal fired.
Well, think about it this way.
I don't have any interest in anything.
You just want it to be efficiently and done.
Right. And then people say, well, obviously you don't care about safety. Oh, no. I do. I have kids. Yeah. I've looked at the data. It's basically no deaths versus a lot of deaths.
What if you had a coal powered car? There are those out there now. That people see that and they're like, oh, but isn't that the same thing as the electric power car?
Well, it's just removing the middleman.
And the delivery system, which dissipates the energy that the coal creates.
Well, look, like, either way, everything has become politicized. For me, it's pragmaticized.
I'm telling you, go get the book, The Quest or Perfect Power. Those two books, The Quest is your first reading assignment.
Well, grab President Me if you really want to know how things should be run in this country.
Get The Quest and really learn how the power thing, how the oil and power thing has played out through history and what the issues are, because otherwise you're talking from a place of ignorance.
Well, it's funny. I was listening to the radio this morning, our good friend Dennis Prager. Mm. He was interviewing a guy talking about the European Union, and he was saying, well, what's going on with Russia? And he said, well, you're not going to get Germany to step up and do anything with Russia because they're getting a lot of their power.
The oil, yeah.
Or oil from Russia.
I like all of it.
Whereas France is nuclear.
Yeah.
So funny. So they don't rely on Russia. And you're like, oh, that's nice. And then you go, oh, yeah. It's insane that for the people in this country that do a little more feeling than thinking, France is their Valhalla. France is where they go.
Except they have nuclear energy. That's where they fall off the wagon. That's where they're out.
But what I'm saying is your beloved France, the benchmark for all cultures and civilizations and the people that are in the vanguard of, well, there should be 13 weeks vacation every year, holiday, and if a woman is pregnant, she should get 2 years off paid, and every worker should work a 21-hour work week, and all people should sit all day and just drink Pinot Grigio, and all the stuff that you're down with. Except for one thing, they're energy independent because of their nuclear power plants. How do you adjust your thinking for that? How do you factor that in?
Well, they can be mostly good. They have some fallible judgments in certain areas.
I think it's working out pretty good for them over there. Because when shit like Russia starts going off the rails, they don't have to.
And by the way, where do they put their nuclear waste? They have no land. Where are they taking it?
Catacombs.
Huh?
The catacombs.
Seriously?
No, you fucking idiot.
What are you talking about?
You know where the catacombs are?
In Rome.
No. They're in France.
I only know the catacombs in Rome.
What the hell? This is one of these situations where you're too smart for your own good.
Tell me.
You've never seen the catacombs? I've walked through the catacombs in France.
In Paris.
Well, in Paris,
I know that during something. They had to take everybody up and put them in the basement of a church, basically, and they have all these bones down there. But I thought that was a very isolated little area. It's a big thing?
No, Drew, it's called a joke, jack off. I'm making a joke. Where do you put all the nuclear at a tourist destination that's buried underneath Paris? I make jokes.
Got it.
I
went past the joke into the...
You went well past the joke. Boy, did you get past that joke. Yeah, listen, I try, people. The catacombs is fairly well known. It's three stories underneath the middle of Paris, and I thought it'd be a joke.
That was my mistake.
No, you're too smart for you. You only knew the one in Rome that no one else knows about. Everyone else knows about the Parisian one, or that's the one that people have heard of, right?
Oh, you're full of shit, Gary. Stop nodding your head.
They're both pretty well known.
Hold on a second. No. When you say just the catacombs.
Just look up catacombs. Just Google catacombs. See what comes up.
See which one comes up first. Uh-oh.
Yeah, here we go. And that'll be based on searches, too, though, to be fair.
It's on.
Catacombs, Wikipedia. Come on. I can't read it.
Can't read it from here.
The second one says De Paris.
And it's Rome.
What's the first
Paris.
One say?
Paris and Rome.
Just catacombs in general. That's the way it is.
So the first one is
Odessa. Paris. Indianapolis.
But it's not the second
Indianapolis
one.
Catacombs.
It's number one for our sake of our
After
argument.
After general, Paris is first.
Right. Just for clarity, if you say the second one,
up there
it seems
where,
like we came that's second and Rome is first.
I think it's alphabetical. Just say P and then R.
Please, Gary, explain how the search works.
When you search, catacombs comes up first as if you're searching for a definition.
Kind of Paris.
And then the
Paris.
Next one or the first specific one is about Paris, thus making Adam right.
Thank you. All right, Drew, you're wrong.
Wait. Most commonly associated with the Roman Empire.
What?
In the definition.
I said.
In the definition.
How dare you? Hold on. Quiet.
That's in the definition.
All right. My argument was
most
this.
Most commonly associated with the Roman Empire.
Well,
in the definition.
Listen to me.
Go to dictionary.com.
I said when you ask most people, this was our argument. When you ask most people about the catacombs, I say the French one comes up before the Roman
one. I would say, based on the Google search there, you must be right.
Thank
even though it's
you.
In the definition
Moving
as being associated
on.
With
yes.
Roman Empire.
All right. Again, you're too smart for your own good. Us us tourists, we just know it. We know
but you
it.
Know what would make somebody uber smart is to go for these microloan situations like Prosper.
Oh, Prosper.
That is smart stuff.
Mm, 72 hours, you could get $35,000. What would you do? Pay off the credit cards, start a business, home improvement? Prosper.com, peer-to-peer lending, connecting borrowers like you. With investors. No outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never set foot in a bank. Just go to prosper.com/Adam. Check your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. For a limited time, by the way, they're offering my listeners and our listeners a $50 Visa prepaid gift card. When you get a loan, go to prosper.com/Adam. That's prosper.com/Adam. Drew!
Other restrictions apply. See site for details. Gift card is issued by Center State Bank of Florida pursuant to license from Visa USA, Inc. All personal loans are made by Web Bank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right. Phone calls, questions.
I got a lot more stuff.
Fired up.
I am fired up.
Why are you so fired up?
I don't know. You asked me to come in prepared. I want to make sure I'm prepared. That's all I'm saying.
With your catacomb stock, your hot catacomb stock.
It's fascinating people.
We are going to be doing some live podcasting, meaning me doing some live podcasting and my show, San Diego, Burbank, Las Vegas, Ventura. You can, Vegas, Treasure Island, August 29th. So come out and say hi. And, come out to Gilly's and have a little mangrove.
You're not
with
traveling
me beforehand.
That much. It's interesting. You're staying closer to home in a lot of these. Yeah.
Is well, I started doing two things. I started doing Catch a Contractor, and then I started having this feeling. Well, you know me. I have that feeling of dread.
Yes. When you have to do anything.
Well, no. When I have to do everything.
Ah. Okay.
No. What happens? And we only go to the East Coast when it freezes over, by the way. No,
that's funny.
What happens to me is I get in the middle of a long week, a hectic week. And it's, you know, Wednesday of said hectic week. And then I say to Matt, what's the weekend looking like? And they go, well, Friday, you guys have a 2 p.m. flight out of Burbank to Phoenix, and then two shows Friday night, and then two shows Saturday night, and then you'll be home Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my Wednesday gets miserable.
Yeah, you're
correct. Because I'm staring down the barrel.
I told you to stop
that.
Doing that, and that's good.
And I've been trying
that's good.
To curtail it a little bit, but the problem is, and you guys can help out with the Amazon banner. And again,
that you have these attorneys biting your ass.
Win-win. Anything you do, anything you buy, school supplies, whatever, radar detectors, whatever, you don't have to give us money. Just bookmark us at Amazon, and it'll go toward fighting the patent trolls, and I can stay home and be sane on the weekend. By the way, started doing Catch a Contractor, so I do a lot of weekend shooting on Catch a Contractor, number one. But number two... I started finding out, like, am I going anywhere this weekend? I'd be like, no. And I'd be like,
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it changed.
I told you.
Yeah. I know. And I believed you. Yeah. I wanted to do it. It's just the price of doing business. It's made the week a lot more enjoyable.
Makes your work enjoyable. Your family, everything starts to fall into place. Yeah.
Well, that's why light at the end of the tunnel is important for everybody. That's why you go to school and then you graduate, or you go to prison and then you get put on parole. But either way, when the weekend starts looking like more work than the weekdays, it starts screwing with you.
What screws with you is where, right, no end in sight. One thing just rolls into the next, and you're like, oh, this just, that's where dread comes in.
Right. And then the problem is it starts putting a spotlight on it. It starts putting pressure. Your psychological self is not unlike your physical self. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Preemptive sniff. No, people say, how did you throw your back out? And you go, well, I fucked up my right knee. Mm. And they go, what the fuck's that have to do with your back? Your knee's fucked up. Well, I started putting more pressure on my left side, and I started walking in a way that was taking some of the pressure off of my right knee, and I fucked up my lower back. It has a way of moving up down the chain a little bit.
Yeah.
And for me, when I start working every weekend, then I come home and the lights are on and the air conditioner's blowing and nobody's in the house. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I killing myself on the weekend for? That's so you guys can burn kilowatts?
But isn't that interesting how it all rolls downhill? All that shit.
Yeah. And I'm right in that you should shut the air and the lights before you leave the house anyway, but I'm not pissed about it like I am when I'm tired. And then it's like, look, I'm going out this weekend for the sole purpose of making money, and you guys are burning it while I'm on the road.
I totally get that.
Thank you.
Totally get that.
And so it makes for a much more mellow Adam around the house.
Yeah, it's good. Everybody's happy. You're happy.
All right. Questions? I'm, like I said, much more interested in being satisfied than happy.
Well, I would argue
this isn't a direct answer to what you just said.
No, I understand that. I absolutely get that. And you just opened a door to a big topic that we could talk about for the next couple of months.
Please.
Which is, in this country particularly, we don't even fucking know what happy means. We have happy has meant for the last 40 years or so euphoria.
Yeah.
And euphoria, you know, we're partying, we're doing drugs, we're having sex, we're these euphoric, intense
jacuzzi
experiences.
With a glass of champagne.
Right. That is a extremely transient sort of, has nothing to do with happiness.
It is the worst thing you can do is go out to a top-tier steakhouse every night for dinner.
Right.
Because it then means nothing. Those times when you go out and celebrate a few times a year or get some friends together and go out to a dinner, or you and I should get the wives and go out to dinner, and we should do it this weekend. I don't know if you're around, but the point is when those events happen, you know, Drew and our wives, we go out and have a dinner, and we go out and do it maybe two or three times a year, I really look forward to that.
Yeah.
If we did it five times a week, it just become a Wednesday or a Friday night. You know, that delayed gratification, the reason my weekend, Saturday night at a steakhouse with you and your wife and me and my wife feels so good is because the weekend before, I was doing two shows at a honky-tonk in Long Beach.
Right.
That's why it feels good.
So it marks things. You can get used to things very quickly that are, you know, people get used to really bad things. They get used to very good things very readily. That doesn't lead to happiness.
I think the cruelest joke you can play on, I was literally, I said to my kids yesterday, I was staring, and I'm guilty of it too. I was in the backyard. The kids were frolicking in the pool. You know, they pull this shit during the summer vacation. It's like, we got nothing going on today, Pops. Like, I don't know what your plan is, but we should be going to some castle that's lined with trampolines. I don't know what the fuck you think we're doing here. And I go, are you kidding me? You have a basketball hoop and a swimming pool and a huge yard and scooters and bicycles. Go out there and fucking make and be, you know? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I said to Natalia, I said, I was throwing her in the pool. We're sitting outside. I'm looking over at the fucking air hockey table that they got for Christmas. Not professional grade, but, you know, the kind.
Nice one. Yeah.
Well, just the kind you get for kids. You know, it's $118 or it's not the kind you'd have in an amusement park, you know. I'm looking at it. It's sitting outside now. It's fucking covered with leaves and shit. I mean, it's fucking falling apart. I said, you've used that thing three times, you know, that Christmas Day and then for 20 minutes the day after Christmas Day. And now it's fucking sitting out by the garage. Like, just, it's going to get the shit kicked out of it in the sun or whatever. Eventually it'll fall apart. We'll just drag it to the curb.
Yeah.
I said, by the way, I paid $31 per air hockey game. That's what we've averaged with that thing. I said, Natalia, what's the plan with that air hockey? Are you ever going to play it again? She said, that's for special occasions. I said, like what? I said, when? When are we going to, like, for what? And she said, you know, when friends come over, stuff like that. I said, what do you mean? It's sitting in the backyard, like literally under a tree. You know, like an old bicycle that's just rusting out.
Yeah, except behind the garage. Yeah.
It's not three Christmases old. Yeah. This is this Christmas. It got played three times.
But the point is made that you get used to things, whatever, really good. Or you get used to living next to the gas meter in the fucking closet like you did. You get used to it.
In it, and not next to it. Yeah. Yes.
But that doesn't determine happiness. So
no.
So as opposed to, you said, us going out to dinner for certain events is a good, nourishing thing. But also having family, quiet family dinners every night. Very nourishing.
Yes.
Not euphoric, very nourishing. So people, they get confused about euphorogenic things versus things that are nourishing. Things that are, as you use, satisfying.
Well, the
things
impulse,
that are satisfying nourishing. They build. Yes. They build something in you that has a sustenance.
It's a constant striving toward feeding. And I'll screw this metaphor up a little bit, but there's a constant little deprived 8-year-old inside of us saying, please feed me, please entertain me, please do, please,
you and I,
please take care of me.
Because ours weren't dealt with so well.
Please take care of me.
We had a big dose of that.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is there's a little.
Gary doesn't have that so much.
There's a little. Well, he was collecting art and eating at steakhouses when he was 14.
Every 12 months.
What I'm saying is this. There's a little person inside of all of us with Max Pattitz, a tiny person. She's already little. But that little person is saying, hey.
Mini Pata.
Yeah, no.
Mini Maxa Pata.
No, that little.
I'll take Chris.
That little person says, you deserve a Coke, not a Diet Coke. Have a Coke.
Yeah.
It tastes so much better. You deserve that. You deserve this. It feels good. You should go, you know what? Go take in a matinee. Put your feet up. Get some air conditioning. You deserve, you know what I mean? This is like that little person. Yeah. And it's a weird thing. And so if you give in to that little thing that wants to
be gratified,
avoid the tough stuff and so on and so forth, you're going to be playing a horrible trick on yourself.
That's right. So that the adult person has to kick in to choose what's more gratifying more satisfying than what's gratifying.
We
delay gratification in order to gain satisfaction.
But once you realize that the satisfying part is much more nourishing than the fun part, meaning that the steamed vegetables actually taste better when done correctly than cotton candy.
Yeah.
Then you start going, well, fuck that. I'm not interested in that.
Right.
I'm interested in this.
Okay. Then.
Yes.
So that's satisfying and nourishing. Then the higher order conversation is one that we never have anymore. You and I talk around it, but we've talked explicitly about it here and there. But then what ultimately becomes the pursuit, just the way the vegetables becomes the pursuit of a healthy life, the pursuit of a satisfying, nourishing life should be a good life. And then we never talk about what makes a good life. A good life may not have a lot of woohoo happiness associated with it. It may be hard work. It may be leading a moral code that isn't so gratifying.
Right.
It may be delaying or even never going after gratifying things because you want your kids to have whatever. And we just don't talk about good lives anymore because good lives are all about the good life, which is money and women, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just lost.
No, it's a good point.
You know, the philosophical sense.
A good life got replaced by the good life.
That's exactly right.
Cigars and hookers.
That's right. The good life is not a good life at all. In fact,
right.
It's quite the opposite, typically.
No, it's funny. I have to force myself to stop and go play catch with my son and stuff like that. But then it feels so good when you're participating in it. Although, you know, it's funny, just in a little micro version of what you're talking about. I had this thing yesterday where I said, you know, I love going on a lunch run around here. Someone's going on a lunch run, you know. Let's eat. And I said to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, yesterday, I said, you know, I got this race thing coming up. I want to try to shed a couple pounds, get in a little better shape. So I said, you know, I'm going to go get one of those Jamba Juices, aerobics juice. I'm going to go get like the smoothie, not the bullshit smoothie,
yeah.
the carrot and kale and put a little protein powder in it and all that kind of stuff. And so he said, go online and find me this place and actually tell Matt to do it because now it's driving me nuts. He goes, the closest juicer place, whatever's over there off of Alameda or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know where the Pollo Loco is? And I go, yeah, I love that place. He said, yeah, it's right in that mall. It's right up in there.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And I drove over there, and it's gone.
Oh.
And now I'm like, now I'm staring at the Pollo Loco.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I left with the best intentions, didn't I? I didn't.
You get credit for that.
He said it was in the mall where the Pollo Loco was, right around the Pollo. And I'm driving around the mall in a circle. And at a certain point, I left, and I was like, "Well, I don't know where I'm going now because now I'm hungry. I've seen the Pollo Loco, and by the way, they're diabolical because they let the smell of the chicken skin just go right out the top of the place.
Yeah.
It's the siren song. So I was like, shit. Where is that fucking Jamba Juice?
Did you tie yourself to the mast?
No. So I said, I'll go back into the mall, look again. I went and looked again.
It's Homer, everybody.
It's not there. It's not there. So now I'm like, all right, the Pollo Loco's not gone anywhere, but somehow the juice joint left. Maybe it's across the street. Maybe I wasn't listening. So I said, I'm going in.
Uh-oh.
I'm going in. But I'll get a thigh and a breast. I won't eat the skin.
Right.
Much of the skin. Some sticks. What are you gonna do? I'll get a coleslaw. I know that's not the greatest, but it's not the mashed potatoes. And I'll get a small side of coleslaw, small side of beans. And I said, fine, I'll do it. And that's what I ended up doing. I struck a little bargain.
But you know what?
No tortillas.
I would argue, there's a question up there about certain kinds of diet. I would argue that eating consciously is all you really have to do to get yourself going. But you said you love lunch runs. You know what I love? Stamps.com.
Oh,
convenient, quick, easy. Stamps.com makes mailing shipping from your small business a breeze. Buy and print official U.S. postage with your own computer. Hand it to the mailman. Drop it in a mailbox. Nothing to learn. They give you the digital scale to calculate postage for any letter or package and helps you choose the absolute best class of mail. Like, I use it here. We were early adopters at my household. We use it here at Kroll all the time. Use the code ADS for a special offer. It's a no-risk trial, $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale, and up to $55 of free postage. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS. That is stamps.com. Enter ADS.
All right. Question about low-carb diet. Yeah. Quick nicotine question, which I think is interesting, from Brian, 30, San Diego. Brian?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, now.
What's going on?
Hey, I love you guys. I saw you guys at the Redondo show a couple months back.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for coming. Question.
Yeah, so I was wondering, I know, Adam, you said you you like to have a cigarette or two in the evening. And I was wondering, Dr. Drew, do you think that Adam might be going through like a very minor nicotine withdrawal throughout the day, and that might add to his irritable nature?
Well, it's possible, but the problem is that...
How dare you? Yeah. Irritable nature.
Well, no. Hang on. It would be possible if he weren't having full-blown alcohol withdrawal in the morning.
Oh.
You see? And so the nicotine withdrawal takes a far backseat for the alcohol withdrawal. Mm. I mean, his medicine at night, you know, to sleep, Mangria medicine, and daytime withdrawal, I think you're onto something
You know what happened... I do have my cigarette or two in the evening. You know, it's funny. I went out of town, and not out of town for work. I went out of town for vacation a few weeks back, I told you.
Yeah.
Just a nice relaxing time with the family. Didn't go out at night onto the porch and have my cigarette.
Because you were not so stressed?
Literally just forgot about it.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, went out that night, had dinner with everybody, went back home. Went to bed. This is not. It didn't. It wasn't like. Oh no. Not in front of the kids. You know. It was just like. Nah.
Yeah.
It didn't. It did not. It's weird that smoking, which is normally sort of progressive, for me has been a little regressive in that it's less now than it was 10 years ago. I used to want to sneak. Well, I'll put it to you this way.
Interesting.
If it was during the day. And I was in a stressful situation, and somebody said, I'm going to go have a smoke, I'd probably go out there with them.
Sure.
Or they're standing next to me. I'd go, you know, give me
even on non-stressful days.
Give me drag off of that.
Yeah.
You know, but not, doesn't happen. It's only nights, and then, like I said, it went out for a few days and forgot about it. I wasn't white knuckling it. It was just, I'd forgotten about it. Did not forget about the red wine, by the way. Is this a new
formula of Mangria coming soon?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go to CorollaDrinks.com. The new formula, which involves some reverse osmosis.
Sounds like some weird, like you're a mad scientist with a new formula.
We got a new manufacturer, a new bottler guy, a new vintner. And he tasted the old stuff, and as an expert, sort of did the, oh, we could do better.
Mm.
And I said, then knock yourself out. And then I tried the new stuff, and it is unbelievably smooth, and just an unbelievable. I mean, you know, normally when people do the, oh, I could do better than that, they do about the same.
Yeah.
This is new and different. It tastes the same, but it has no kick.
Yeah.
You don't taste the kick. I'm
great.
So
more
much,
business for me.
Yeah. When the guy gave me the samples, I was like, this needs to be 21% alcohol.
Yeah,
this
is
what, 5-8%? No, he said, no, it's 21%. Like, literally couldn't taste it.
Yeesh.
Yeah, more business for you.
Aaron,
22, Colorado.
Hey, get it on.
Get it on, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say real quick, That Mangria stuff is a shit, man. I bust that up at our frat parties all the time.
Well, it's only going to get better, so thank you very much. But where were we?
Wonderful.
I have a small question for you, Adam. It'll take like 2 seconds, and I have a bigger question for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll start with Drew, which is, what do you think about the ketogenic diet where you eat high fat and low carb?
You're asking me that or both of us that?
Drew that.
It's not exactly a healthy diet, but I am a fan.
Well, the people I know who have lost weight,
they lose
dramatically. Just cut out the pasta and the bread.
Right. Bottom line: eat lots of vegetables. Lots of vegetables, and yes, eat protein in addition to that. So there you go. There's the ketogenic diet. So, in avoiding carbohydrates for many people is a way of managing their appetite and putting themselves into ketosis or catabolism. And you've got to be in catabolism to be losing weight. So, okay. But it's not a healthy, sustained way to go on living.
Drew, why were we so far off the mark?
By the way, I did a huge podcast. What was the one with the brain guy? Gary, when's that going up?
Andrew Hill?
Yeah. Was that his name? No. Was that his name? I can't remember his name right now. We did a whole podcast about the brain that's going up soon that give you information about what to do to maintain brain health in the face of a diet like that. But go ahead. What have we done? What?
What is good for brain health in
a
diet like that?
Mixed chain, medium chain fatty acids and certain, you know, certain fats are
stuff
good.
You'd find in salmon or stuff you'd find
salmon,
in beef.
Yeah, omega fatty acids.
Well, how is it that we were so far off the mark for so long and so recently? And again, on diet, meaning this is coming back to our full circle. It's coming full circle to what we started this podcast with, which is I grew up with a meat is bad, protein is basically bad, anything that's protein is bad because it basically comes from an animal.
Well, and remember everything pasta.
Oh, that's all it was. Pasta. Like whole grain and pasta. Whole grain and pasta. Don't have a steak for dinner.
No.
Have a huge thing of pasta. Yeah. As a matter of fact, eat as much pasta as you like.
As you can. It's crazy. Remember the pasta bars.
And it's like breakfast was a huge bowl of oatmeal with two pieces of unsprouted grain wheat bread, you know, you know, 2 inches thick.
Now there's a school dinner of thought that you should be fasting all day and only eating after late in the evening and eat as you please, but just in the evening.
But all I'm saying is did we not have dietitians? Did we not have scientists? What was going on in 1977?
The podcast I'm talking about is with Dr. Andrew Hill. It's Be on the Dr. Drew podcast a week from Monday, and it's episode 135. It's because that's at drdrew.com. The science. Listen, the science of nutrition is so complicated. It's extremely complex, and people declare things way before there's adequate evidence.
But also, don't you kind of feel like there's politics sort of woven into it?
There's not politics. It's market economy.
No.
I'm going to make a name for myself.
In my mom's circles, if you ate a cow, you were a bad person. If you ate a pasta, you were a good person.
The paleo diet's all meat now, but you have to
grass. I know. The point is, what do they do in Europe? They don't eat cows. They don't have big steaks in Europe. They eat the pasta.
Because Europe's good. France, good. Right. Nuclear power.
Right. So I'm saying there was a political sort of agenda. But the point is I then grew up just thinking, well, eat tons of whole grains. Eat tons of pasta. Be healthy.
I know that. Here's what's good. We have a generalized gut and a generalized dentition. We got to control our appetite. We got to control our calories. We need an adequate amount of protein. It's not as much as you might think, but you can go a little overboard if you want. It's not that big a deal. Animal fats, not so good, but certain fats are good. And lots of vegetables, lots of fruits and vegetables, lots.
But by the way, you say fruits and vegetables. To me, it's more vegetables.
Yes, it's
because
more vegetables.
People, you know,
because you can overdo the fruits.
The nectarine tastes a little too good for a reason.
That's right.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. So it's balance. It's just balance.
That's right.
It's just exercise. It's movement. It's balance.
It's easy to get out of control with the way that, you know, we have so much excess.
But what I'm saying is stop thinking about it. Just start living it. Mm-hmm. You understand a slice of pie for breakfast is no bueno. Slice of pie at Thanksgiving is perfectly fine if you haven't been having the slices of pie for breakfast leading up to the Thanksgiving slice of pie. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, do a little road work. Balance. Okay. Balance is no fun, by the way. Real fast. Joe, 23, Boulder.
Yeah, Ace Man, get it on.
Get it on, man.
So that's actually what I'm calling about, the getting it on department.
Yeah. You can only last a minute in the sack?
Yeah, and it's kind of a problem. You know, I'm a good-looking guy. I can date a lot of girls. But every time I do end up with a girl, you know, it almost ruins the fun. It's a short-lived experience.
Couple things. A lot of women are flattered by that. They really are. Not all, but some are like, hey, he's really into me. It's good.
I've learned from experience, though. Keep it out of the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Kroll effect.
Aim for the navel.
Kroll effect.
Or they will not be as flattered. They'll be the opposite of flattered.
The... mm-hmm. I can't think. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not going to have an orgasm with intercourse anyway. You're going to have to double down the oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
There is a round two. Mm-hmm. You can certainly go for that. Or you can masturbate once or twice before you go into battle.
Yeah.
You can always do that.
Condoms, condom that.
Condoms, numbing creams help. But
numbing creams.
Yeah, there's numbing creams out there now that, that are useful with the condom. But the fact is, you'd be surprised how many women really are just sort of relieved when this has to go for a long time and are flattered when, you know, when this happens quickly.
All right.
And again, double down on the oral sex and everybody's happy.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the support. Thank you very much for, well, what we've talked about on the show. Subscribe via the PayPal button. Show a little love. Keep the pirate ship afloat. And you want your President Me book jacket signed? Send that thing on in. I got a bunch of, well, I keep saying 3,000. Maybe I'm down to 2,850 in terms of the hardcover. Of not Taco Bell material. They were going to put them in a wood chipper. I said, send them here. And I'm basically autographing them and sending them back to you at no profit on my end. I just didn't like the idea of the book getting chucked. So you can go to our website, find out all that information, where we're going to be, where I'm going to be, where Drew's going to be, where anyone's going to be. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, you're after. Saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.